The great thing about running the Wikimedia Foundation is that everybody loves Wikipedia, right? I was really surprised when I joined how much people love it. Like, they will stop you on the street and tell you how much they love it. It's really nice.
I mean, there must be a lot of pressure, though, given that branding that Wikipedia has and that strong market position, pressure from commercial interests to try and invade the non-profit mission that Wikipedia has.
Yeah, it's not. I wouldn't characterize it as pressure because they don't have any leverage, but certainly I get dozens of business proposals every month, and I always laugh because some of them are from people who just say, hey, have you ever thought about putting ads on Wikipedia? And I'm like, no, we've never thought about that. Like, I mean, I get asked that, you know, on a near daily basis by people.
I mean, how safe is Wikipedia's structure, the foundation structure, the Wikimedia structure, from any kind of corporate interference or attempts to take it private?
No, we're in a great position, right? We are in a stronger position every day, you know? So when I joined the Wikimedia Foundation, we made most of our money through donations from ordinary people via the internet, and we made about $1 million a year, I think, when I first came, and now we're up to upwards of $40 million a year through the same mechanism. We did experiment for a while with accepting restricted government grants and with soliciting donations from major donors, from rich people, and also with a little bit of business partnership kind of stuff, but in the end, we didn't go down that road for two reasons. One was because it was actually easier and faster to get money by just asking readers to give it because they were very happy to give it. And the other reason is because doing it the way that we're doing it today, just donations from ordinary people, aligns our incentives with our mission, with our purpose, right? And so the more we're paying attention to ordinary Wikipedia readers and trying to gear ourselves towards what they want from us, the better job we're doing, because, of course, that's our social purpose. That's our purpose, is to serve ordinary people with information, right? So it's a beautiful model, and it works really well, and we don't have any risk or pressure of having to do anything else.
How stable are those donations? I mean, for instance, during the global financial crisis, did you find any problems in fundraising?
We didn't. And in fact, I think, as someone who has not been working in the nonprofit space for very long, but I actually think that charities tend to exaggerate the effects of those kinds of economic crises on their revenues, right? If people are giving you $30, $50, they are mostly going to give that to you anyway, right? People can be finding themselves really in desperate circumstances, but that's a small proportion of the population. Most people are belt-tightening a little bit in hard times, and they're not going to cut out small charitable contributions that matter to them because, frankly, it feels good to give to charity. So, no, we weren't hurt at all by that.
Does Wikipedia have much in the bank if there was a downturn in donations? How stable is the organization?
Yeah, we never have less than 6 months of cash in the bank, which is pretty high by American nonprofit standards. I think the average charity has something just under 3 months of cash in the bank. We never have less than six, and we usually have more than a year.
And how many people is Wikipedia now employing around the world?
We've got 125. So roughly 100 of those staff work in San Francisco, in the United States, in our head office, and then the remainder are scattered around the world. So we have folks in India, we have folks throughout Europe. We've got one guy, one software developer in Australia.
Now, given that Wikipedia relies on its readers' free contributions and volunteering their time, what exactly do the staff of the organization focus on?
Mostly it's technology. So more than half of the staff either are working, installing servers or in creating new software functionality for the editors, right? So they maintain the MediaWiki software that powers the site, and they build new stuff on top of what's existing already. The remainder of the staff are doing things like, we need to provide legal defense for the projects around the world, so we employ some lawyers, and then obviously accountants and so forth. And we also have a practice. We give out grants to Wikimedia-related organizations around the world, to our chapter organizations and other folks who do Wikimedia-related work. And so we have some people employed doing that as well.
Now, that raises an interesting issue. I mean, you're publishing a lot of articles, millions of articles from thousands of sources around the world. How often do you run into legal problems in various countries with things that have been put up and that editors have missed?
Yeah, we've never been successfully sued by anybody, which is great. We do, though, sometimes we face legal threats of various kinds, either because governments want to censor information and make it not available to their citizens, even though it should be. And then sometimes just because the laws of a particular country may conflict with the laws of the United States, and we may or may not, you know, choose to adhere to them for a variety of reasons. So, for example, in Germany, has quite strict laws related to privacy, much stricter than the United States does. So, for example, in Germany, if you commit a crime and you serve your time in prison, upon your release from prison, nobody is supposed to refer to your crime again. It's supposed to be expunged, right, and not discussed in the media. So the German Wikipedians have chosen to conform to that, and they do it because it's their belief is that it's an appropriate law and it's a cultural value in Germany that privacy is highly prized, right? And so that's fine. If the German editors chose not to adhere to that law, we would defend that if that needed to be defended.
Talking more specifically about your editors, one of the threats that's been discussed about Wikipedia's future is a drop-off in the number of people volunteering to become editors and administrators.
Yeah. Yeah, that's concerning for us. We don't know how seriously we don't know how serious of a concern that should be, right? There's a school of thought which suggests that, you know, after you've written the article about Saturn and accounting and, you know, France, right, that you don't need as many editors as you used to. Once you have a solid base of articles inside Wikipedia, you know, really at that point, you're just making small improvements and you're just, you know, keeping things up to date. And so there's a school of thought which suggests you don't need as many editors today as you needed in the early days in 2003, say. I don't know if that's true or not. When I read Wikipedia, I find lots missing, and I think that there's lots of new material that wants to be added to Wikipedia that's not there yet, right? I think that my preference would be that everybody in the world edits Wikipedia, right? Because our proposition is that we want to contain the sum total of all human knowledge, and we can't do that unless we have a large and diverse array of people making contributions. It's a little too hard to contribute right now. I don't know if you've ever tried, but you have to learn wiki syntax, which is not hard to learn, but, you know, it takes a little bit of time. We're rolling out a visual editor, what we call the visual editor, this summer, and that's going to make it significantly easier to edit, much more like using Google Docs or something like that. And so at that point, we expect that one of the big impediments will come down and we'll be able to have a more generalist editor base.
And you've been looking to recruit more editors from developing countries?
Yeah. I mean, we have a number of outreach tactics, right? So we have a program in which professors in countries all around the world assign article writing on Wikipedia to their students as classwork. That's actually a really terrific way to improve the quality in Wikipedia, right? Because the students want to do a good job because they're getting graded, right? And their professors want to assign them article writing on Wikipedia because the students like doing it. They think it's fun, right? And Wikipedia wins because the articles are higher quality afterwards, right? Because the students put in focused attention to them and they're graded on it and they're tested for it, right? So that's one thing that we do. We're also doing a variety of kinds of outreach in developing countries, and we have a new program designed to increase readership in developing countries as well, because readership is quite low right now relative to richer parts of the world.
One of the other threats that's been discussed is increasing competition. Nothing in the online space seems to stay relatively stable for long, and of course there's sites like Quora springing up where people can ask questions and get answers from other readers. Do you think Wikipedia retains a unique proposition that's going to remain that way into the future?
I do, yeah. And the reason I think that is because it's such an enormous library of content now on Wikipedia, right? It's 24 million articles. So I think that as a repository of knowledge, it's a juggernaut. There's just so much there. That's not to say that other sites aren't doing really, really interesting things. I think Quora is fantastic. Quora is super interesting to me. It's a different kind of thing, though, in a really fundamental way, which is that on Quora, the value is entirely dependent on the credibility of the person answering the question. And so it makes a big difference if your question on Quora is answered by some random person or if it's answered by like Larry Page or something, right? Wikipedia is the opposite of that. Wikipedia is not about the one answer and how good it is. Wikipedia is about a consensus answer that's collaboratively built by lots of people and is the sum total of everything that they all know, right? So they offer very, very different value propositions. But it doesn't surprise me, you know, that people are on the internet looking for information, and that different kinds of answers to their questions, different kinds of sites are going to be appropriate depending on the nature of the kind of information that they're looking for. But I think there's always going to be a place for Wikipedia because it's just so profoundly, obviously useful.
As someone who started university when Wikipedia was a lot younger than it is now, I remember lecturers saying, do not reference Wikipedia in your essays or in your answers. Do you think Wikipedia will develop to such a point where people will start accepting it as a valid reference source up there with encyclopedias, with reference works?
Sure. I mean, the thing is, you're not supposed to reference any encyclopedia, right, in post-secondary works. So they shouldn't reference Wikipedia. They shouldn't reference Encyclopedia Britannica either. Like, encyclopedias are supposed to be a starting point for your research, right? You go there and you get the gist, and then you go further into you know, richer, more nuanced sources. And that's why on Wikipedia, we have the footnotes at the bottom of every article so that you can go back and you can go to the original research, and you can go to the, you know, the peer-reviewed study, and you can just get closer and closer to the source of the information. But there's no question that Wikipedia is taken a lot more seriously by people in academia today than it was even when I joined the Wikimedia Foundation, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I had those same conversations that you were talking about in school, right? I had them in the newsroom, you know, in like 2005 or whatever. We'd say, oh my God, like the interns are quoting Wikipedia. How can we make it stop? You know? But today, I mean, people engage with it in a serious way, and serious people, you know, like professors and librarians and all kinds of people who are credible and authoritative information professionals, they know what Wikipedia is, right? It's not perfect. Nothing is perfect, right? But it is really, really useful and often, you know, excellent in terms of the information that it contains.
A slightly more esoteric question. Do you think that Wikipedia and other sites like it and the internet in general and Google and search functions have actually changed the way people in developed countries who have had access to these services actually think, because it's so easy now to just check the answer to a question in your mind rather than having to remember all this extra information?
Yeah, I do think that. And I was thinking the other day about, you know, I am older than you. And when I was in school, we were having arguments about calculators, right? Could you bring in a calculator to your math exam or whatever, right? And you know, I always thought that the better teachers understood that anything that you can do to have the student thinking at a higher level is good, right? Because it enables them to be smarter. And I think today it's almost as though we're outsourcing our memories, right? We're outsourcing significant chunks of our brain because Wikipedia does remember, you know, which episode it was on whatever program that something happened, or Wikipedia remembers, you know, how that one election turned out. You know, it remembers facts for us. And ideally what that should do is it should free us up as people to think at a higher level and to use our brains more creatively and more interestingly than just by stuffing them full of, you know, actual facts.
Earlier we discussed a lot of the threats to Wikipedia. One of the opportunities that Wikipedia has been discussing is the so-called Wikipedia Zero and a greater focus on getting Wikipedia into developing countries. Could you explain what that program is?
Yeah, sure. It's actually, I think it's a lovely idea. So what we're doing is we know that in developing countries, most people are never going to use laptops or desktops. They're never going to experience the internet the way we did in Australia, Canada, the United States, right? They're going straight to mobile phones. And so we want to be there. We want to be used by them on mobile phones. And so what we've done is we're forming partnerships with mobile phone carriers in developing countries where they are going to offer their subscribers access to Wikipedia for free. So you won't have to pay data charges to use Wikipedia on your cell phone. And we really like that because we think that the data charges are a big impediment for people in poor countries. And so eliminating it makes it a lot likelier that they're going to get to use Wikipedia. And we think that they should be able to use Wikipedia because we think access to basic information, you know, is a human right. Everybody should have that. And so for them to get it from their cell phone provider, we think is a public service and a good, you know, example of corporate social responsibility on the part of those providers.
Does it threaten, though, the non-corporate, non-commercial nature of Wikipedia?
No, because all it really is it's the phone company just waiving data charges. They don't get a special version of Wikipedia. They can't influence what's in Wikipedia in any way. They're just waiving the charges for that part of their customer's bill.
What do the phone companies get out of it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think what they get out of it is a couple of things. I think that they feel like it's a service to their subscribers, and so maybe their subscriber would be more likely to go with them as a provider than some alternative company that doesn't offer that. And I think, honestly, they do it for corporate social responsibility reasons, too. They want to be understood to be, you know, a good, responsible corporate citizen. And I think probably a little bit of it may not be entirely rational, but I think they like Wikipedia, too, right? I mean, people really do, they like the encyclopedia, right? And they want to help it. And so I think there might be a little bit of that at play, too.
Are these done on an exclusive basis?
No, not. We couldn't do exclusive, right? Because then we'd be privileging customers of one carrier over another one. So we don't do that.